All right, I got the thumbs up. Before I get started, I do want to give you just an explanation of what the ministry is. Preacher said that it was a helps ministry, and that's what it is. The best way to describe Mile by Mile is the story of Aaron and Hur. If you know the story, Moses told Joshua to go find men and to fight Amalek. And when Moses went up on top of the hill and he was holding his staff up, Israel was winning the battle. And when that staff came down, then Amalek's army was winning the battle. So Aaron and Hur went up there and they started propping up their arms. Now, a picture of your pastor would be Moses. A picture of the church would be Aaron. Now, Aaron is seen throughout the Bible. Lots of times in the Bible, we know a lot about Aaron, and we know a lot about the good things he did and the not-so-good things he did. Mile by mile is like her, okay? We're somewhere for a short time, 2 weeks. I think the longest we're going to be somewhere is 5 weeks, and that's because that preacher is sick. He can't barely walk, and we're going to go down there, and we're going to try to help him out a little bit. But we see her there, and he's holding up one arm, and Aaron is holding up one arm, and then we don't see her anymore in the Bible. There's no more accounts of her except for in genealogy. So that's what mile by mile is like. We go and we try to prop the hand of your pastor up while the church holds the other hand up. And then when whatever it is, a special meeting or whatever the cause is, maybe filling in a pulpit, once that is done, we kind of disappear. Now, we hope that people take our prayer cards, there's a table in the back, and they actually pray for us, but we don't like coming and serving from the front. We like to be in the background. We like to do things for the preacher that don't really put us in the spotlight. Okay, we're a helps ministry, and we're specifically a helps ministry for the pastor. Now, I've told your pastor, listen, you're going to get sick of me asking, but every time I talk to him, every time I text him, and you can ask him, I'm always saying, preacher, what do you need? What can I do? And that's our ministry in a nutshell. Again, our prayer cards give a little bit more information on that, but I don't want to get into a lot of it because I need to get into the message. Okay? In our world today, we have all kinds of issues. We live in a world today with moral decay. And that moral decay is not because of the lost. That moral decay is because Christians aren't doing everything Christians need to do. We are losing the battle in our towns, in our cities, in our states, in our country, and even around the world because we have what I call part-time Christians. It's easy to come to church, to wear a suit, to wear a skirt, to sit in the front row or to sit in the back row or sit somewhere in the middle, and to fool everybody into that you're doing everything that you're supposed to do, and then you go home or you get in your car and you change completely. You listen to music that you shouldn't listen to. You read books and newspapers and all kinds of literature that Christians have no business reading because we're part-time Christians. Now, please don't shut me out. Don't say, well, this guy's not talking about me, so I'm gonna daydream about something. I learn the most when God steps on my toes. And when I was looking at this message, God talked to me and convicted me in all different kinds of ways. So if you listen, I promise you'll get something out of it if you listen with a purpose. If you listen with a purpose, you will get something. The life of a Christian is not a part-time life. The mission of a Christian is like a marathon, okay? We should be doing everything that we can do to serve God. We have a body of believers, and that is the church. This building is not the church. This building is just a building with four walls and an air conditioning unit when it wants to work. It is, you are the body of Christ here at this church. And it's our responsibility to work as a body of Christ. But we often do it when it's convenient. We need to make sure that we're full-time Christians all of the time. Listen, if we're not working as a body, the Mormons' will, the Jehovah's Witnesses' will, all these religions are out there outworking us because we are part-time Christians. There's lots of areas that we can change in our life. Nobody under the sound of my voice today is perfect. There are things that we can do to better our life with Christ. Again, so listen with a purpose of what we're talking about today. We should want to serve God. That should be our heart's desire, is to serve people. Listen, we have a crusade coming up. If you're not involved in that somehow, it's not too late. Go to the pastor and say, listen, pastor, I don't have a role in this. What can I do to help? This crusade is only going to be as good as the church that's behind it. Okay, we need to make sure that we're willing to do that. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. If you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, I'm going to be reading 9 verses. I know that's a lot, but stick with me. I'm going to read Acts 2, 38 through 47. And as soon as I get there, I'm going to read it. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, if any one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, your children, and to all that are after afar off, and I don't think I'm reading in the right spot. Yes, I am. I'm going to read it from over here. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized for every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself, save yourself from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that? 3,000 souls? That, to me, that's mind-boggling. That's a huge number. It doesn't end there, though. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Lord, I ask that you fill me with your spirit. Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, let them be said in a way that your people can hear and understand them. Lord, we just ask that you bless this time and that you're with the different classes that are going on around the church. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now, you may say, what does this text have to do with part-time Christians? This text has to deal with it because these guys weren't part-time Christians. And because they weren't part-time Christians, we see a lot of different things that happen. The first thing that they were said is they were told to repent and be baptized. It's a never-ending marathon, and I just said that. And the Christian should be likened to the example that we're given here in the Scriptures. It's not a race. Listen, if you run a race, you get tired very quickly. I used to be a runner. The longest I ran was 11 miles. And that was not a race. By the time I was done with 11 miles, I had to call Carrie and say, listen, you need to come back because you need to come pick me up because I can't run that 11 miles back. I had to train for that. That was like a marathon. If I was to run it as quick as I could, I'd have made it half a mile maybe. So a Christian life isn't like running. It's like a marathon. We need to make sure that we continue to do the things that we're told to do in the Scriptures. A marathon is important for us to do. For those that aren't saved, it's impossible to understand a Christian's life. It's impossible. They don't understand why we tithe. They don't understand why we come to church all the time. They don't understand why we put in all the work for the crusade or VBSs or special meetings. They don't understand that the only way that you can understand a Christian life is if you are a Christian. There is no other way to do it. They need to be Christians. And that's the problem that we have so many times in our society today, is we expect people to understand what we're doing, but they can never understand it because they're not a Christian. So sometimes when you're trying to talk to somebody, it's better to start off with salvation than what you need to be doing as a Christian. Listen, the Holy Spirit's going to convict that person how to change. Listen, if somebody came in this building today, they smell like alcohol, praise the Lord. They're in a place where the Lord can fix that. If they come in smelling like alcohol or they don't look like they should be looking, I encourage you to say, hey, welcome. Why don't you come sit with me? That's showing them a kind church. Showing them a kind church. Some people avoid reading the Bible because they think it's full of thou shalt not. And you know what? It is full of thou shalt not. Now, I challenge everybody in here to go back, open your Bible, and find one thou shalt not that if you do, you'll be better off. It's impossible. You can't do it. There is no scripture that if you do, you're going to be a better off Christian. It's not there. But God doesn't tell us not to do something because he wants to restrict us. He tells us not to do things because they're not good for us. The Bible talks about alcohol. Listen, it blows my mind. I know people that say they're a Christian. You walk into their house and they got alcohol all over the place. But blows my mind. They're not in their Bible. They don't go to a church that preaches against that. You go places and they have music that a Christian shouldn't be listening to. I'm a Christian, I go to church all the time, but yet I have all this trash in my house. It is so hard for me to grasp that because it just doesn't make sense. And if you bring it up, you know what they say? Well, don't judge me. I can judge you by your fruits. The Bible says that when we judge somebody, we can do it by their fruits. If a tree is dropping rotten fruit, that tree is worthless. And we see that throughout the scriptures. You know, when you go out and soul win, I love soul winning. I love going out, knocking on doors, talking to people at gas stations. I like that stuff. But you know what I found is it's easy to get somebody to say some magical prayer. Sometimes they do it because they just want you to get off their porch. Sometimes they do it because they just want you to leave them alone. The problem is the Mormons do the same thing. The difference is the Mormons will go back into that house and disciple that person into their trashy, hell-bound religion. We get outworked because we see somebody get saved and it's praise the Lord, hallelujah, and we never go to that person and try to help mentor that person. The new Christian life is not the end. It's the beginning. When we go and we see somebody saved, listen, shoot me if you want. It's not pastor's job to go out and disciple everybody. If you lead somebody to Christ, they have the relationship with you already. They don't, listen, I've asked hundreds of people, do you mind if I come back and talk to you about the scriptures and kind of lead you in some different areas that you might need to think about, like church membership or baptism. I'm always told, yeah, you can come back. The problem is that if you never go back, they'll find somebody that will. Listen, if a Jehovah's Witness gets their claws into somebody, they're going back to that house. And they're going to talk to that person, and the next thing you know, they're a practicing Jehovah's Witness. I know that because I talked to a Baptist once. I was out knocking on doors. And I talked to a Baptist once, and I went up to her, and I was talking to her, and she said, oh, I used to be a Baptist. You said you used to. What's wrong? Why did you move? Well, the Baptist church that I went to was dead. They didn't do anything. The people weren't nice there. And I said, well, how did you go to Jehovah's Witness from Baptist? Well, they came and knocked on my door. And then they came back and they kept talking to me and they invited me to church and I went to church. Shame on us. That is a soul that is more than likely, and listen, I don't think that if you're a Christian and you're saved, you should get caught up in that trash. However, Sometimes we do, and what kind of testimony is that? It's no testimony. Listen, if I had an accident, I wore black slacks and a white shirt once stolen. Listen, don't do that. Because everybody looked at me and said, oh, that's that Jehovah's Witness. And everybody, wait, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a Baptist. And then they were willing to talk. So watch what you wear soul winning, because that didn't work so well. And Peter here also says that they should be baptized. Listen, we need to understand that baptism follows salvation, but really has nothing to do with salvation. Baptism is a work, and we can't work our way to heaven. We have to take time, and that's one thing that we talk to them about. Listen, the next step in a Christian life is being baptized. Well, I was baptized when I was a child. Well, and then you have to take a step back, and you have to show them from the scriptures why that baptism isn't legit. And then you can start talking to them about baptism, and when they understand it, the Holy Spirit will convict them, and they'll get baptized. The problem is we don't disciple people. We see somebody that gets saved, and again, we praise the Lord, but we don't do follow-ups and talk about, listen, you need to get baptized because of this. Church membership is important because of this. Coming to church and getting used to the church and to the people, the devil doesn't want them to do that. And we're letting the devil have victory because we're not going back and talking to him. We need to be very, very careful, because other religions, cults, whatever you want to call them, they do a very good job of getting out and discipling people. We need to make sure that we understand when they get saved, it's not the end of a journey, it's the beginning of the journey. They talked about souls here. Think about it. He preached and 3,000 people got saved. Listen, If we did that, if we went out as a church body and 100 people got saved and 100 people came to church, you'd be packed out. You'd be adding chairs. 3,000 people got saved, and there is no difference. If we go out and we knock on doors or we hand out tracts to people at a gas station, I was at a laundromat here a couple days ago, and before I left, I was putting tracts up on the board and the crusade flyers on the board. And do you know what happened? As soon as I walked out the door, everybody there ran to the bulletin board to see what I put up. What did they do with that stuff? I don't know. But the gospel was presented. I put all the tracts out there, and you're invited, and all this other stuff. So we can get out there and we can do things. Sometimes you have to be creative. Now, I was at a gas, this is a story, Carrie's heard this story before, that's okay, she can hear it again. A friend of mine, Dan Caldwell, he's a pastor now in West Virginia. We were out and we were getting ready to go soul winning, and we stopped at a gas station to get something to drink. And I nudged him and I said, Dan, watch this. He knew it was trouble. He knew I was about ready to do something that was crazy. So I walked up to this man and I said, where were you Sunday? And he stopped and he looked at me. I said, you promised me you'd be at church and you weren't there. Why not? And he said, sir, do I know you? And I was like, no, I just want to invite you to Broadway Baptist Church. Here's our information. Now, listen, he didn't come because he didn't want to see that crazy bald guy again. But see, we can get those tracks out. Very few times people will say, no, I don't want that. You keep it. When you go through the drive-thru and you get a cheeseburger, hand them a track. Whenever you go anywhere, make sure you carry those tracts with you, because people read them and you never know what's going to happen. And you won't know all the time until the other side when you're in heaven. We have to be doing stuff like that. We have to be doing discipleship. And it's not the pastor's job to do all the discipleship in the church. He's only one man. If we see somebody saved, we should take it upon ourselves to disciple that person. You can say, well, listen, I'm a new Christian, or I'm a Christian and I've never done it before. Listen, go up to preacher and say, listen, I led this person to the Lord the other day. I'm not sure how to do a follow-up. Will you go with me? Listen, I've talked to your preacher a lot. This is only the second or third time I've seen him. But I think I can say with confidence, he would say, well, let's go. You don't have to do it by yourself. In fact, I would recommend that you don't go to somebody's house by yourself. Not everything goes well if you go by yourself. Again, I hope that you're tuning in. It says there in Matthew 28:19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Don't get mad at me, but if you don't do that, you're in direct violation of the Word of God. That's not, it says go. It doesn't say, if you want to go, it says go. You don't have an option. Well, I don't like passing out tracts. I don't like talking to people about Christ. Okay, well, you're guilty of violation of the Scriptures. You don't have to get mad at me. The Bible says it. You can look it up and you can write it down. The Bible says go, and that's what we need to be doing. We need to be going out and telling people about God. We see here in Acts 2:42, and it says, and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. It says continued steadfastly. In other words, they didn't say, okay, I did my job, I don't have to do it no more. The Bible says we need to keep doing it. The Bible says, listen, you can have all the success that you want in the world, but that doesn't alleviate your responsibility. It doesn't say once you see three people saved, then you don't have to go. The Bible says go, and we need to make sure that we're doing it continually because it's not a race, it's a marathon. Excuse me. A lot of churches today, preach to tickle ears. They don't get up there and they don't say, thou sayest the Lord, you need to do this. They don't get loud. Listen, I love hard preaching. I like hard preaching because a lot of times that hard preaching steps on my toes. And I don't mind it if my toes get stepped on because that's when the Holy Spirit is saying, Todd, listen, you need to change this. Or you need to make this better in your life. We would be better off if we kept the drum sets out of churches. They don't have any reason to be in here. All they do is they add the unsaved world into our churches. We need to be very careful on what music we listen to. Listen, a drum set gives you generally gives you the beat of the world. And we need to make sure that we keep that as far away from our churches as we can. We need to keep the perverted Bibles out of our churches. You need to make sure. Listen, if preacher goes to the NIV one day, leave. We need to make sure that we keep the King James Bible in our hands. That's what we read. That's what we study. You can say, well, I don't understand the King James Bible. Well, maybe you should ask God to reveal it to you. You may not understand it because you're not saved. We need to be really careful that we keep the King James Bible in our church. We need to keep real men in the pulpit. Men that aren't afraid to smack their hands, stomp their feet, and tell you what we're doing is wrong. We need to keep men in the pulpit that aren't afraid to preach hard topics. Listen, there are a lot of hard topics out there. Listen, this whole thing about Roe versus Wade. That is a victory. That is a victory in the war, but it is not the end of the war. Listen, that it's just getting started. It is just, we need to be active in making sure that the states we live in adopt laws that say it's illegal and that they can't do it. The only thing that did was take the protection of the federal government away and they sent it to the states. It's up to us to get out and to vote. It's up to us to say, listen, it's still not right, and we don't want that in our state. When we were in Oklahoma, I did 2 years in Oklahoma. I was in the military, and I was, don't shoot me. I was in recruiting at the time. And we were looking for a good church. And in one Sunday preaching, we went to 4 different churches. We'd go to one and we'd see a drum set, we'd leave. We'd go to two and we saw ladies coming in with very tight shorts on. We didn't go into that church either. We went to four different churches before we found one. Okay, this one looks good. Let's go to this church. Nobody said hello. We were there. It was like that we weren't even there. Until the end of the service, one man came up and said, "Hi, how are you doing?" We said, "Good." He said, "Yeah, we don't have a lot of people right now because we just went through a big church split." That's not the kind of church that I wanted to attend. I've been through church splits before, and they're ugly. And so we didn't go back to that church either. We eventually found a really good church. It was a little bit of drive, but it was a good church. We also were told that we needed to stay within the doctrine. Now listen, a doctrine in the Bible is the teaching of the apostles or of Jesus Christ. If it's a true, according to the definition, if it's a truth in the Bible, and everything is true in the Bible, and they teach it, we should do it. Sometimes we just do what we feel like doing. "Oh, that's too hard. I'm not going to do that. Preacher's going to do it." Wrong. What typically happens is if it doesn't get done, do you know who typically does it? The preacher. They're like, "It needs to get done. Nobody said they could do it, so I'll just add it to my plan." We need to make sure, just like Aaron did, that we hold the preacher's arms up. That's really important. We need to do that. We need to understand that Jesus was not just a man. You'll hear people say, Jesus was just a prophet, or he was just a man. Jesus Christ is not just a man. He was God's child, and he died on the cross for our sins. Don't let somebody say, he was just a prophet, because that person doesn't know their Bible. And we need to make sure that we realize that. We need to understand there's only one God. There aren't many gods. There are, you know, you get into let's say the Roman Empire. They had gods for everything. We have one God. That's all we have. We need to make sure that we understand the necessity of the cross. I've been told, Christianity is just a blood religion. Praise the Lord, they're right. Because all that blood religion is the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross so we could have a way to heaven. So if you want to tell me that I serve or I worship a blood religion, I just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for dying on the cross for me. Now I know I can go to heaven. People will say, the King James Bible is outdated. That's why we look at the NIV, KJV, all these other letters. The King James Bible is still good today. Just as good as it was 20 years ago. If it was good enough for my grandpa to use, it's good enough for me to use. If the old hymns were good enough for my grandpa to sing, they're good enough for me to sing. I don't want all this new age stuff. It's all trash. Get rid of it. Fellowship is really important in a Christian's life. Fellowship. It's good to get together with each other and to go out for dinner or to come over and eat ice cream or whatever. I say amen to the ice cream too. I like ice cream. But it's important. If you fellowship with Christians, that's a great thing. If you fellowship with the lost, eventually you're going to pick up what they're doing. Oh, that's not going to happen to me. That's a bunch of hogwash. You throw a good apple in a bag of bad apples, what's going to happen? That good apple is going to turn bad. You can't fight the temptations of the devil. He's out there seeking who he may devour. If he thinks that he can get his hands on you and you're living a wicked life, guess what? He doesn't get his hands on you. And I'm not saying that we should ignore the lost. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to make sure that we're fellowshipping with Christians. Listen, I've had people come over to my house that aren't Christians. You know what I eventually do? I bring up the gospel. If they bring over a case of alcohol, that goes right back in their car and they park off my property. Now, I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want it on my property when I had a house. I didn't want anything to do with it, and they knew where I stood. They didn't always like it, but I didn't care. But that's where I stood on it. Let's talk about prayer. Carrie's heard this before. Prayer is the most underutilized tool a Christian has in their toolbox. What I mean by that is we typically don't pray enough. If we handed you a blank piece of paper and we said, listen, honestly, write down how much time you spend in prayer this week or last week, would you be ashamed? Would you write a zero? Or would you write 20 minutes? Listen, prayer works. I've seen people cured of cancer because of prayer. Prayer is so, so, so important. I'll give you what I do. I'm not trying to elevate myself, but I want to kind of share what I've adopted in my life, and I've just done it in the last 2 years. I have a prayer list. I pray for preachers, evangelists, family members, friends. If somebody needs something, I pray for them. I use my phone. Our preacher's wife just had to have surgery not long ago, and I just set an alarm on my phone, so when she's getting ready to go back for surgery, my alarm went off, and I remembered, hey, I need to pray for this person. They need something. I need to pray for this person. So I simply have a prayer list. It works. Is it the right thing for you? I don't. That's just what I use. It may not be that you may have a different way of doing that. I'm gonna jump to the conclusion now because I want to have time for an invitation. For the body of Christ to work, everybody has to work. The crusade is coming up. Listen, it's only a couple days away. If you don't have a responsibility in the crusade, you don't have a job that you're doing in the crusade, something's not going to get done because the body of Christ isn't functioning the way it should. If you cut my foot off, my body isn't going to work the way it should. Listen, if you don't have a job, no matter how big or how small it is, you need to go to the preacher and say, listen, preacher, I don't have anything that I'm doing for the crusade. What can I do? We can find something for you to do. There's something that everybody can do. We need to make sure that if we're part of this body of Christ, we're not pew sitting, we're working. Now, what is a pew sitter? That's just somebody who comes to church and they sit in the chair and they don't do anything and they get up and they leave and then they come back Sunday morning. They hear the preaching and they get up and they leave. And listen, you cannot develop a personal relationship with Christ by doing that. You can get fed a little bit, but Christ doesn't want to feed us a little bit. He wants to feed us and have that personal relationship with Christ. The only way we can do that is by getting busy with the Lord. Getting in our Bible, reading, praying, getting involved in the church, making your part of the church, your part of the body effective. That's a big deal. Making sure that body of Christ is working together. Again, the crusade is here, folks. It's here. Do you want to see miraculous things happen in the crusade? Don't think the missionary that's coming can do it all. He can get up here and he can teach his lessons and do whatever he's going to do. But for it to be successful, we all have to be involved. Again, if you don't have a responsibility, the body's not working to its full potential, and you need to get involved with the crusade. Preacher, you come forward and give the invitation.